Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, WPR Rebuttal is back on the air. Although the title of this portion is Unrest in Milwaukee Part 1, it is actually the third segment of our April 29th broadcast. And of course, the reason we have for breaking it up in these chunks is because Blog Talk Radio has the rather aggressive business model where to have a consecutive two-hour broadcast, you need to pay $60 a month. And really, it is a lean one-man operation where, we have a perma temp who goes and responds to WPR-sourced articles, and really, every dollar counts. So that's why I'm just using the cheap plan, the standard plan, with Blog Talk Radio. So hence, we have four parts to each broadcast, and again, I plowed through the first two topics of the Wisconsin primary of how Sanders defeated Hillary Rodham Clinton by a 13.5% margin, and I also covered how the 2% of the America's workforce is now in contingent labor, and many of them are stuck in it, but there aren't metrics as to how many of them have been temping for longer than a year. And personally, Senator JPO has been temping for more than 18 months, and it's just a shame because there really is not an avenue to hire, because, his temp to hire jobs are gatekept about as well as about permit rolls. It's kind of a catch-22 situation, to be certain. Now, the unrest in Milwaukee. Well, essentially when, Sanders, did not have that many protesters at his campaigns, neither did Hillary Rodham Clinton, which she should have had a lot more protests considering she supports the Trans-Pacific Partnership, but a lot of the anger of protesters was misplaced at Donald Trump. And the reason I say it's misplaced is because he actually wants to upend the apple cart, so to speak, much as Sanders would prefer to do. But he just has a few different ideas as to, first of all, protectionism. Now, I know it's a hot topic, but in Paul Krugman's writings, he is actually admitted that protectionist or isolationist trade policy, especially if it's just against certain aggressors, it would not really hurt America's economy much. And in fact, in certain situations, it could help our economy, like a high-tech sector. Again, like Japan has kind of been a competitor in the high-tech sector since the early 80s, and they became a big competitor, not only in automobiles and durable goods, but in also high tech. And then they had their own recession about the same time that we did in the United States. And, it was Abenomics, and Japan is still climbing its way back to a stable economy, much the way as the United States, as, a lot of civil unrest in its current economy that has not recovered to a level of employment and earnings per capita that it had. I'm talking about actual earnings here of workers, not GDP per capita, because that's a big difference. I mean, earnings is like what your take-home pay for your household, and GDP is just like what all the people have socked away in the upper echelon, and then you have like all the stocks and all these other capital assets are counted towards it, and most workers don't really own capital assets, and a few of them are in stocks. I mean, I used to for as I'm off to buy a car to get to and from work, but the whole point is that it's just an unhealthy situation. It's ripe for unrest, and there has been unrest in the city of Milwaukee. And, of course, Milwaukee is notorious for a lot of different things. It used to be a socialist city, like you had Mayor Frank Ziegler way back when, and then pretty much from mid-70s onward, Milwaukee was less socialist, and It's just one of those things where there's only so much you can stop, you can do to halt the decline of a place that Milwaukee's becoming kind of like Detroit. And that, you know, as mentioned in my second segment, now in our third segment, but a whopping 50% of adult black males in Milwaukee are without a job. And I believe it's not because of a lack of trying, at least not originally, but it's due to them being, you know, blacklisted from work. Same way that, you know, lifestyle staffing, they told me never call, and that's illegal, by the way. Wisconsin Statute 134.22, that statute outlaws blacklisting. But the whole point is that, you know, if you have a certain reputation, whether it's just you've been jobless too long so that no agency will place you, or if you've been a permanent temp for too long where now everyone sees you as just a temp, no matter how many college degrees you earn, well, that's just horrible. That's not real freedom. There's not real choice. That's not real opportunity. It's thoroughly anti-American, the situation that has befallen so many people in Milwaukee, so many people throughout the country. And how is this unrest being manifested? Well, a lot of it is misdirected towards Donald Trump, just because the media loves to make him out to be this effigy for, like, all that's wrong in America. But really, the establishment, the political establishment, is what has really been the primary driver as to our economic ills, as to our divisiveness, as to letting in these migrant workers go and lower the working conditions and just the decline in our standard of living for those who have been stuck in the bottom quintile. And just know for our ears, quintile is a band of 20%. So a bottom quintile would be those at the 20th percentile and downward in terms of income. So pretty much, you know, you can earn all the college degrees from Paducah University, UW-Milwaukee, all you want. Won't make a bloody bit of difference. You know, it's kind of like, well, they obviously admit more students than they have internships. And even if you land like a student work study job like I did, it's not necessarily going to go anywhere. I mean, you can have error-free performance, a good attitude. You can have great punctuality, the same as you would as if being a permanent temp, as I am now. But, yeah, just because you're stereotyped a certain way, and, again, it's the classic catch-22. Sorry about my voice. It's getting a bit hoarse, so I'll try to pace myself a bit better. I've been going at this steady clip, notwithstanding a five-minute period, refreshing period between my second and third segments. But 20 and a half minutes more in a segment. We can do it. So what happened at the town hall protests? Well, UW-Milwaukee. Oh, good old Paducah University. You know, UW-Milwaukee, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, is not as good as the University of Wisconsin. And it's kind of like a lot of people go to UW-Milwaukee when they could be going to Madison because they like UW-M's smaller campus footprint. It's more navigable. And it's just if you lose your way at UW-Milwaukee, it's much easier to get back on if you're at a sprawling campus such as UW-Madison. And if anyone wants to comment on UW-Milwaukee versus UW-Madison and why anyone would go to UWM when they could go to the flagship campus instead, feel free to call in number 929-477-3965. But again, I regret my college degrees. I do. And, it's just I can incorporate this into a separate podcast in higher education. So I'll just comment briefly upon it. But the whole point is that UWM appeared convenient and seemed like a good deal, But after the fact, they realized, no. UW-Milwaukee is a big swindler of students. You know, they lure these naive student consumers and a lot of their parents, too, into believing that, hey, you know, as the community college, you save money. No. You lose money in the long run because a few things. One, it's just the general opportunity cost of going full-time to any college. Is that, you know, your youngest years in the workforce aren't in the workforce. So you have lost earnings right off the bat because you're in school and you're working on papers and you're listening to a lecturer and maybe doing some extracurricular stuff that ultimately won't mean a bloody thing when you contend for real jobs. But, oh. So, yeah, opportunity costs right up front of lost work opportunities. And another negative against UW-Milwaukee, which I call Palooka University, because you have so many people who want to go there to try to get a better job with their degree, but then end up like me, end up a permatemp or not even working at all. Well, another strike against UWM is that it just does not have the gravitas in the local employment community amongst the local human resources staff that a university should. It's just not respected, and it never will be at this point because, you know, based on my experience, I'm highly vocal about it, highly expressive about my dissatisfaction at UW-Milwaukee, and this is a tipping point. You know, UWM should expect its enrollment to decline, especially now that I have a radio show and, you know, I have people listening to me from pretty much potentially around the world. And, yeah, I mean, the fix is in. Palooka University, UW-Milwaukee, I wouldn't be surprised if it's dissolved administratively and its building shuttered and then it'll be converted to, oh, who knows, an amusement park? Yeah, one of these projects that tends to lose money. And, oh, I know, they'll bring in a bunch of migrants to work in that amusement park at the former UW-Milwaukee campus. Yeah, because that's the way we're going. Everyone's going to have, not everyone, but, you know, a lot of these people who are born here and raised here, like yours truly, are going to be stuck in these crummy jobs that have the same working conditions that a migrant laborer would have. So, and UW-Milwaukee is not helping that situation. No, not at all. But, again, UW-Milwaukee, Palooka University, that deserves its own special podcast. And I'm just talking about UW-Milwaukee as a tangent as to why, despite there being so many universities in Milwaukee, they still have a civil unrest. You know, you have these 50% of adult black males unable to convince these naysaying human resource people into hiring them when, you know, giving them a steady job, okay, and at least allowing them an opportunity to shine in permanent employment, you know, with benefits to get them off welfare, you know, that'd be better than just saying, well, hell with you. At any rate, so the protest at the town hall forum at UW-Milwaukee. Now, a lot of the protesters were busybody students who saw themselves as, you know, nothing better to do. They believed the protest would be the best use of their time. I mean, were any of them paid to protest? Well, I don't know, but I haven't heard about protesters getting paid unless they're sent in to like Ferguson or Baltimore and they're paid off to go and be inciters by throwing rocks or Molotov cocktails or anything like that. But, you know, I mean, peaceful protesters are usually not paid to protest. They just generally believe it's the best use of their time. And that's an anomaly in itself because there's an article. What's the title here? Oh, yeah. Six effective means of social change and protest is not one of them. Classic article. Google it. But really, it's just one of those things where, again, throughout history, I mean, protests have had marginal effect, if any. You're more likely to have an effect via court case. And that's certainly a case with the civil rights movement. It was almost entirely through legislation and court rulings. It was not just because, well, hey, we had a lot of people marching. You know, it's like you're not going to change the opinion of a judge because the judges are not allowed to even consume mass media. So you can have all the media coverage in the world, but you're not going to reach the judge who's deciding a decision. So, all right, WPR rebuttal audience, I have the name of the article for you. It is 6 highly effective tactics of protest for political influence, and in parentheses, and marching isn't one of them, parentheses. So you can go and Google it and look it up. You know, it's a little long, but highly worth your time because it explains in exhaustive detail why, you know, protests are just pretty much a waste of time. So, and again, it wasn't necessarily WPR, but it was Wisconsin State Journal. They had a picture of this one protester. Oh, yeah, the real UW. I know that's not necessarily Milwaukee, but, you know, UW-Milwaukee considers itself part of UW system, right? So technically, UW-Milwaukee Paducah University is part of the so-called real W. So, but Wisconsin State Journal had this photo of a protester student, and he has a pathetic sign that's not even legible from unless you're like standing 2 feet in front of him. And really, yeah, if you're going to make a protest sign, make sure that you use bold strokes and make the letters at least a good 5 inches tall by 3 inches wide, or so it's legible from across the street. Don't force people to, you know, get in the out of their comfort zone of viewing from afar, because how do you know you aren't a violent thug who's just protesting as a pretext to go and you know, burn stuff up, as was said in Ferguson and all these other places where people threw a hissy fit, and then they had a few paid people go and, you know, throw stuff at the police, and then there's looting, and just made all the peaceful protesters look very bad. So, okay, so what is it about the town hall forum at UW-Milwaukee at Senator JPO's alma mater, where Senator JPO regrets going there? Okay, so it was Donald Trump just, you know, holding a discussion forum, this town hall forum, and that's great. And, you know, the protesters, they want to exercise their free speech too. But as stated, protesting is a waste of time. And what they all protest is the Career Development Center at UWM. Paducah University Career Development Center not doing enough to place students in jobs. So, you know, the Career Center's rebuttal is, well, you know, internships are like the ledger domain of the program deans, you know, and then it's the deans who say, well, we have internship coordinators. So there's all this continual passing of the buck here where everyone denies responsibility, because when you get to the internship coordinator, then he or she will say, well, it's totally dependent on what the organizations off campus do, what they offer. And really, I can only coordinate as many internships as there exist internships. And how many internships exist, the coordinator will not say. So I highly advise that when shopping around for a college, well, first of all, don't go to university. I'll say that. But if you're hell-bent on a university, then go and call the dean and ask him how many students are enrolled, right? So get that number, put the dean down to the number. And, you know, don't let on that you're going to check how many internships there are. Just ask an instant question that the dean is less likely to catch on, and maybe he or she will give you an honest number. Then call the internship coordinator and ask how many internships, you know, were offered to students during the prior semester. And don't hang up until you get that internship coordinator to give you a specific number or narrow ballpark, okay? A narrow ballpark with a deviation of no more than 5 between the low number and the high number, because any broader ballpark figure, you know, it's just too much weasel room to go and say, we never promised there'd be enough internships for our students. But the bottom line is that when you get the internship coordinator to say a particular number of internships, and you have from your discussion with the dean, you have a number of students, and there's your ratio of students per internships. Now, if there are more students than internships, I would not enroll in that program, because guess what? You're likely to be on the outside. Yeah, because a lot of students, you know, the ones who are special, and they get all the adulation, and, you know, just better liked than you are. That's pretty much what it boils down to. So, you know, if you're a popular kid, maybe you have a better chance. But if you're unpopular, you're certainly going to be screwed. I tell you that. And, you know, the popular ones, they get multiple internships. So these internship hogs go and they have their internships, okay? That, and they deprive their other students who don't have any internships. They keep them from getting any internships because, you know, once you have a few internships, it's like, oh, we got to hire this person for another internship because he or she already had 2 or 3. So it's horrible. If you haven't not had an internship because you're shut out, more or less, it's like the same thing being a temp. You know, it's like if they think you're a loser, then they're going to hold on to that perception that you're a loser just because, again, it's a catch-22. Once, you know, it's kind of like save early, save often. Well, you can try to save, but if the bloody computer won't cooperate and save, in this case, getting an internship or an early job placement, then, you know, you're screwed. And so, of course, there's going to be civil unrest, but Trump wants to change the conditions. He wants to improve the situation, more internships for college students, you know, more job shadowing, more externships, and just more jobs that won't even require a college education, but they'll pay more than what a migrant worker would get. They'll have better working conditions than what a migrant laborer would expect, because we're going to be, under our protectionist American economy, reducing our share of migrants, and we're going to be hiring more of our own, more of the jobless who could work, but, you know, these naysaying human resource people, you know, the only way to change your minds is to just limit their labor pool, limit the talent they have access to, so none of this foreign talent coming in. Yeah, tough luck, you PHR degree holders. Tough luck, you SHRM members. You're going to have to sell for American-made talent, okay? And then you are going to see that they're better than you expected. So going back to the Career Development Center here. Okay, so a Career Development Center at Palooka University, you actually do. Well, for one thing, it runs this really bogus personality job fit career match inventory. And the irony is just the same WorkNet website that all Wisconsin job centers have. So it's just like Career Development Center is kind of like Wisconsin Job Center without any embellishment whatsoever. It's a complete ripoff, and they send you to the same jobs board. But the whole point is that I might as well call Wisconsin Job Center Wisconsin None For You Job Center, because, again, it's just the same thing where they won't place you in anything. You're not a staffing agency. So your best bet is to say to hell with the Career Development Center at UMilwaukee. Say never mind to the Wisconsin Job Center. And certainly don't waste your time with DVR. And I'm not talking about digital video recording. I'm talking about Department of Vocational Rehabilitation. And they are a real flashpoint. They're a true waste of time and a horrible use of resources. They deserve their own special podcast, too. And, yeah, don't DVR. Wisconsin Department of Vocational Rehabilitation stinks. And you should not even patronize them. Don't do it. Just go to a staffing agency. You'll have much better success more quickly. Okay, so after the personality job fit, why do they even do that stuff? Because every time I took that WorkNet personality job match evaluation quiz, every single time I got a different outcome, a different report saying that, I'd do well in a social work job. Next time I take it, no, I'd be a good artist. Third time I take it, I would just be a general laborer. It's like, what? I mean, granted, that's the fallback, is that if you're unable to get into any better career, laborer is like the pretty much a default for everyone, unless you can use a mind control device or something to go and, make human resources give you a job with other responsibilities. But, we have a caller. Hey, all right. Caller, you're on the air. Hello, caller. Hey, what's up? Screen callers. Okay, so I believe you're on the line here the whole time. I'm trying to get you live here. Okay, you should be going live. Hey, caller, you are live. Welcome to WPR Rebuttal. Are you okay? It sounds like you might have tripped on something. You're no longer on hold. You're on the air. We have 412-498-2911. So, hello, do you have anything to say to WPR Rebuttal? You're on the air. Okay, you have a very bad connection. Yeah. Hi, yeah. I heard something.
What is your discussion about today?
The topic, so we've been discussing a few things. One, when Bernie Sanders beat Hillary Clinton in the primary in Wisconsin by 13.5 percentage points. Another is the rise of the temporary laborers in America. About 2% of American economy is now temp. And then the third thing is how there's unrest in Milwaukee, where a lot of colleges are in Milwaukee. But it's just a lot of people are having a tough time getting jobs.
Hi. Interesting you mentioned that. A lot of people are talking about Donald Trump. They think that Donald Trump might bring jobs and other different forms of stability back to the country. Hillary Clinton, they're thinking about voting her in. You got people talking about Bernie Sanders. Personally, based on Obama sending those troops over there to Libya and some of the wars that's going on, thanks to Obama sending those troops over there, and then the situation with the American dollar. The crash on it. I'm going to sound like the bear bad news. I don't see this country getting better at all. I see this country running down to the ground and ultimately being destroyed overall. That may sound negative to a lot of people because, we're kind of toward the American dream, And this country was the American dream at one time with the businesses and corporations that were established throughout the state.
Hey, sir, I'm running out of stream time. I have 10 seconds left, and the stream's going to end because Blog Talk Radio is a limit. If you can call back in about 5 minutes.
All right.
Okay, thank you. 5 minutes.